It's an hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Bart Miller has chosen for his sermon topic, On Guard, based on Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
We meet as a church family this morning to worship God, to bring Him our sins and hear His good word of forgiveness. We celebrate the Lord's Supper this day. At the beginning of our worship, we are privileged to welcome into the church family at Emmanuel, George Ann Donna Brandt, who will be baptized at the beginning of our worship service after our first hymn. And we're glad to welcome her into the family of saints here at Emmanuel. We begin with our opening hymn, our baptism hymn, number 601. Gather here in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as His own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. As a sign that we are redeemed by Christ who was crucified for us, Grace Ann Donna Brandt received the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart as a sign that you have been redeemed by Christ who was crucified for you. We bow our heads for prayer. We pray, Lord, that you would look upon George Ann, according to your boundless mercy, and bless her with true faith in the Holy Spirit, that through this washing, all sin in her, which has been inherited from us, and which she will commit from now until she leaves this world, would be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from all who don't believe, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From the beginning of the Christian Church, we have observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates. In our church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in our Apostles' Creed and taught through our church. They are, whenever possible, to witness to the baptism of the one who is baptized. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith. Parents also have this responsibility as you represent the church in all you do. This child is being given to God as her Heavenly Father, and you are to take care of her for him. You are to encourage her at all times toward faithful worship and eventually reception at the Lord's Supper, that she might confirm her faith one day with her own words. You are to be examples to her throughout your life of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for neighbor. Is this your intention as sponsors and parents then to lead her in the Christian faith? Then say yes.
Yes.
God enable you all to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill the things that we as a Christian family also participate in. I invite you to hear the word of God according to Mark chapter 10. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. When Jesus saw it, he didn't like it at all and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God in the manner of a little child has no means to enter it." And he took them in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. The Lord preserve your coming out and your going in from this time forth and even forevermore. I ask you now, as parents and sponsors, to answer in the name and the place the questions I now ask of George Ann. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and ways? Then say yes.
Yes.
Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as we confess in this Christian church? Then say yes.
Yes.
And do you wish to be baptized? Then say yes.
Yes.
We as a Christian family join them in the joy of having this child enter into our Christian faith, and together as a Christian family, we confess our Christian faith together, into which this child is about to be baptized in the words of our Apostles' Creed. It's found on the inside back cover of your hymnal, and we stand as we confess our Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. God the Father has created this body and this life. God the Son has redeemed this body together with the soul, and God the Holy Spirit promises to work faith and to strengthen faith in this child as she grows. And he makes those promises now as he washes her sins away and gives her a new life in holy baptism. A little bit more. George Ann Donna Brandt, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has washed you clean of all your sins and has forgiven you, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Baptism of this child lays on all of us the responsibility as a Christian family to welcome this child into God's kingdom. And we as a Christian family pledge to you as parents the opportunities through worship, the opportunities through learning more about who Jesus is, and one day that she would be able to confirm her faith in our Lutheran church. We bow our heads for prayer. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you preserve and enlarge your family and have granted George Ann the new birth in holy baptism, making her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that, as she has now become your child, you would keep her in the baptismal grace that you have given according to your good pleasure, that she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you. And I invite you to keep this as a reminder of the washing of regeneration that George Ann has received. And I invite you to take these things as a reminder and mementos of the baptism that we have shared here. We welcome George Ann Donna Brandt into our Christian family. You may be seated. I don't know if you usually welcome them that way, or if you just started a new tradition. I'm imagining that the new seminarian will come here as a pastor next fall, and he'll go, "Who did that?" And you'll say, "Pastor Miller." But it's certainly appropriate that we know that this is an awesome thing to have a new member of our church that we've observed come into God's kingdom through holy baptism. And now, as God's baptized people, we now come to worship him. We do that by, first of all, bringing our sins and reminding ourselves that in baptism we were washed clean of our sins, and God gives his promise in his word and sacrament that our sins are all forgiven and that we've been given a new life that we share with all the saints. We do that with the words on page 203 in our hymnal. I invite you to stand as we begin our worship this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered here to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God invites us to gladly and joyfully enter into worship with him. We use the words of Psalm 16 this day. The Psalms are in the front part of our hymnal in the order in which they are written. And we will read Psalm 16 responsively by half verses today. Preserve me, O God. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. As for the saints in the land, the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be with you. We bow our heads for prayer. O Lord, absolve your people from all of their offenses, that from the bonds of sin, which by reason of our weakness we have brought upon ourselves, we may be delivered by your great goodness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We listen to the Word of God this day as He speaks to us through Scripture. First of all, through the book of the Old Testament, the first book of the Kings, chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a few sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it or die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of flour will never be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading from the letter to the Hebrew Christians in the New Testament, chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any need for an offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for our Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 13 verses 1 through 13. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is yet to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquake in various places. There will be famines. But these are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue our worship with our next hymn, hymn number 698. You may be seated. heads for prayer. Lord God, prepare our hearts to hear your word. We need to always be ready for the things that happen in life and sometimes in death. And so give us that readiness as we listen to your word about life in Jesus, as we look forward with him in our faith, as we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus this day. Amen. I'd like to talk this day about Jesus' words from Mark chapter 13. We heard the gospel lesson, and in our church year, we are coming to the end of that year. The end of the church year comes before the end of our calendar year, and the end of the church year will be next Sunday. After that, we begin the journey of Jesus' life, from the promises of the Old Testament that a Savior would come, through Advent, to Christmas and the Christmas season, to Epiphany, when it was revealed who Jesus was, to Lent, as he began his journey to a cross, and then Holy Week, when Jesus suffered and died. And then Easter, when Jesus rose from the dead. And then as he gave the church the responsibility of bringing more people to faith through baptism and through his word in the Pentecost season that we're celebrating right now. And so with those thoughts, this scripture reading talks about the end. And Jesus is having a discussion with his disciples in Mark chapter 13. So you got to kind of picture what's happening here. Jesus had been traveling with his disciples. They had been in Concordia and Sweet Springs and Corder and Saline City. And they'd been wandering around, and then they came to the big city, the great city, the best city in the world, St. Louis, Missouri. Or maybe Kansas City. And as they came in, they saw the magnificent buildings. If you've ever driven into Kansas City, and I'm sure you have, you come past Royal Stadium and Arrowhead Stadium, and you come over the hill, and you can see downtown Kansas City on a clear day. There's all the big buildings, and if you keep going straight and get through the traffic, eventually you get downtown to these magnificent buildings. And so the disciples had been traveling to all these small towns with Jesus, and now they came traveling to Jerusalem. And as they came, they sat on the hill of the Mount of Olives looking at the city, and there was the temple. The temple of Jerusalem at that time and in that day was one of the greatest buildings in the whole world. It was a magnificent structure that King Herod had built. And as a side light, King Herod had not built the building because he wanted to worship God. He built it as a commercial enterprise, if you will. Underneath the temple was a massive stable and place for animals, including birds and cows and bulls and goats and sheep. And what do you think they did with all those animals that were underneath there? They brought them up into the temple courts and they sold them to travelers for sacrifices. And I promise you, they weren't selling them on the market rate. They marked them up. And the offerings people had to bring were not their money, but temple money. And they had to exchange their money. And they got ripped off terribly because King Herod was interested in making money off this temple. The temple courts were full of people selling things. There were even prostitutes in the temple court. You could buy anything you wanted. And all of that money went to support King Herod. It was a great deal. It was quite the place. And if you remember, a couple different times in the Gospels, Jesus came to the temple and he threw them out because he said, "This isn't what my Father's house is all about." The disciples and Jesus come to Jerusalem. He sits on Mount Olives and they go, "You know, this city of Jerusalem really is awesome. Sweet Springs doesn't have skyscrapers like this. Look at that temple. It's fantastic. And all the buildings. Jerusalem was a beautiful city. And as you approached it, it was a thing to behold." And then Jesus says to them, "Well, look at it now, because one day it'll all be gone. Every single building, every single stone, every single thing of beauty that you see in this city will be gone. It will be laid to the ground." The disciples go, "How can that be? When will this happen?" You know, imagine me sitting with you outside of the skyline of Kansas City or the skyline of St. Louis or New York City. If any of you have ever been to New York City, the skyscrapers go on and on. Imagine somebody telling you, one day these will all be gone. They'll all be laid to the ground. There won't even be a city here. People won't even know there was a city here. Say, how can that be? Jesus tells them it'll all be gone. And that's when he says this in Mark chapter 13. He says, watch out that no one deceives you, because many will come in my name saying, I am he. And when you hear about wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed or amazed. Such things must happen, but the end is still yet to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes and famines. But these are all the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. I don't know how many of you play chess. You know, when I was a kid, we all had to learn to play chess. We didn't have video games. So we played chess. In the rules of chess, or in the actual rules of chess, you are supposed to warn your opponent when certain things happen. Most of you know, even if you don't know how to play chess, that if you make a move that puts the other person's king in danger, and taking the other person's king, that piece off of the board, that's what makes you win the game. When you endanger that king, or your next move will take the king, you have to say, check. You have to let him know. You can't move somewhere, not tell the person, and then they don't notice it, and then you take the king. In the rules of chess, you have to take it back, because you have to tell him that he is in check. In fact, you have to win the game by taking the king when he has no other choices. There's another rule in chess. It's not always observed. It's more of a gentleman's rule, or a gentlewoman's rule, depending if you're a guy or a girl playing the game, I guess. If you put the other person's queen in danger, the most powerful piece on the board, you are supposed to let that person know that their queen is in danger by saying, on guard. Because no one wants to take the queen by accident just because the other person didn't notice. You want to take it fair and square. And so you let that person know their queen is in danger. You tell them on guard so they can make a move to try and protect themselves. Jesus says you must be on guard. And he's not playing chess with them. He's not playing a game. He's telling his disciples, you've got to be aware that things are going on in the world and that stuff is happening. And then he tells them what stuff is going to happen. He says, don't be alarmed or amazed. There's going to be all kind of bad things happen in the world. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be distress and pain and sickness and destruction. There's going to be hurt feelings. There's going to be all kind of things that go on in the world. Those are the beginning of birth pains. And they're a reminder that something is yet to come, that something has to happen to save your life. You have to be on your guard at all times as people who are people of God, because God wants you to be ready and to not be surprised when bad things happen. They're all a reminder that one day something wonderful is going to happen. Now, Jesus had this conversation with his disciples just a day or two before Palm Sunday. So in just a week, he was going to die on the cross, and the disciples had no idea. They said, when are all these things going to happen? Jesus is really talking about himself. The Son of God himself, God himself, is going to die on a cross. The disciples had no idea what was going to happen at that time. It's our glory as Christians that we have a Savior who was on guard for everything for us. Because quite frankly, we can't be on guard for ourselves. Every day when I was a kid, I used to get up and I'd say to myself once in a while, I'd say, today I'm going to be really, really on guard. I'm going to go through the whole day. I was probably 10 years old about this time. I'm going to go the whole day and I'm going to be very careful and I'm not going to sin one time. Sometimes I get to the end of the day and I'd try all day long. I'd say, man, I bet I did pretty good. I told my dad about that one time and he laughed. He said, I want you to read something in the catechism that the old-fashioned old man Martin Luther wrote. He said, if you ever think you didn't sin, you have a lot of sins that you committed that you didn't even know about. In fact, Martin Luther said, you sin just by waking up in the morning. My dad asked me if I woke up this morning. I said, yes. He goes, there you go. You probably sinned a whole bunch of times you didn't even realize it, in thought, word, and deed. It was very disappointing to me because I thought I could do it. Fact is, I can't do it. I can be on my guard. I can read scripture. I can try. I suppose I could just lay in bed all day and not think of anything and not do anything, and maybe I'd make it through the whole day without a sin of thought, word, or deed. But even then, I'm a sinner, not because of what I do, but because of my very human nature. So what do? I can be on guard all I want. I'm still a sinner. Well, the good news is that Jesus is on guard for me. Jesus is protecting me. Jesus is guarding me. And that's really what Jesus was telling his disciples. He was saying, all kind of things are going to happen in your life. You're going to have all kind of problems. Don't be so surprised. You live in a sinful world. The sinful world has brought this on themselves. There will be sickness and disease. There will be fires in California. And there will be people who get mad about elections. And there will be earthquakes. And there will be people in other countries who want to escape their country because of the oppressive government. And there will be wars and murder. And all kind of horrible things happen. Don't be surprised. Those things are going to happen in this sinful world, but somebody is going to be on guard for you, and that somebody is me, Jesus is telling us. He's on guard and guarding our soul all the time. One of the things Martin Luther wrote about baptism, too, that old man, was that in baptism, God then takes us as his own. He makes us his children, and he promises to guard and keep our life, not just in this world, but for all eternity. And as we think about the end days and the end times here, we celebrate the fact that we're going to be in heaven forever, where there won't be any more wars and rumors of wars and disease and hardships and difficulties. It'll be a perfect life, the perfect life that God wanted to create for us in the beginning. And I inherit that perfect life not because I made it through a day or two being on guard and being perfect. I made it to heaven, and I am a saint because God has given me that gift. Jesus has gone on guard for me, and he's protected me. He plays the game for me, and he wins. He goes through life in my place, and he defeats sin, death, and the power of the devil, and he gives it to me. And he gave it to me at my baptism, just as we saw baptism today. I was baptized one day, had nothing to do with me whatsoever, but God gave it to me, bought and paid for with Jesus' blood on the cross. What a great thing to know that I have a God who's on guard for me, who fought the real war for me. Not a chess game, but a real war where Jesus fought the devil, and he fought sin and Satan, and he won. So what do? How do we be on guard? God still wants us to be on guard. He wants us to be ready for things. I believe we begin our week every week being on guard by being in church, by being in worship. We heard that in the letter to the Hebrews. What did it say? Some people are getting out of the habit of not meeting together for worship. That's what the letter of the Hebrews said. He said, go there. You need to be ready. You need to be ready for this week and be on guard. Not on guard so that you can be perfect, but on guard so that you can recognize all the opportunities God's going to give you throughout this week to give him glory with your life. And sometimes that glory comes through good things that happen, and sometimes that glory comes through difficult things that happen. God wants us to be ready and on guard. He wants us to prepare ourselves by believing and trusting that Jesus stands by us every single day, that he forgives every single sin that we know of and the sins that we don't know of, that we prepare ourselves by holding on tightly to God's church. And for better or for worse, the representatives of that church are in this room for you. What a blessing we are to each other. Jesus' final answer to his disciples is that the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And I promise you that Jesus was talking about himself, because he's the only one who really could stand firm to the end. We stand firm to the end when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus stays solid, unshaken, alive through death, so that you will be ready, on guard, and prepared to meet him in eternal life. And you are today. A little baby who was baptized today is ready to go to God's eternal kingdom and be protected and on guard with Jesus throughout her life, wherever it takes her. Our life begins this day when we find forgiveness, when we meet Jesus in communion and receive his body and blood. He challenges us now to be on guard and to know that the devil wants to not have us use our life to give glory to Jesus. But the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus will overcome that. And when we're on guard, God promises that he will protect and keep us, both now and in the certain hope of life in heaven forever. Amen. And may the peace that passes our human understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds on guard in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord God, as we are gathered here before you this day, we ask you to help us be on our guard for all the things that would happen to us in our life, whether they are good or whether they are difficult. And we trust that you will be with us because you have been on guard for us throughout all eternity. You've been on guard for us in our earthly life through our baptism and until now. And you promise us that through your word and through the body and blood that we share this day, you truly are present with us all the time. You will be on guard for us through all the difficulties of life, and the very important things of life will remain even as we look forward to our eternal life in heaven. Continue to protect us and be on guard for us as we look forward to this week, as we look forward to the rest of our lives, and as we look forward to all eternity with you. We thank you for the new life you give us in baptism, and especially the new life that you have given this day to George Ann. And as she continues to grow in your grace and mercy, we ask you to bless those who care for her, her parents, her sponsors, her family, and this Christian family, that we would be a good example to her, and that she would continue to have the opportunities to learn who you are and what you have done for us. Continue to be on guard for her and protect her in this life, as you prepare her for the life to come, where we will be together with the saints and the angels and all the company of heaven. Continue to bless this congregation as they move forward, and as we look forward to celebrating Thanksgiving this week, give us thankful hearts as we meet here for worship, and as we as a nation realize that everything comes from your good and your gracious hand. For these things and for all others, we commit ourselves into your hands, and we commit all those into your hands who need your special grace and mercy and who are in our thoughts and prayers this week. People who are going through difficulties in our communities and in our families, in our nation, bless and keep us according to your good and gracious will, and be on guard for us at all times. Amen. And we continue with the service of the sacraments on page 208. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and proper that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And we close with our hymn number 779. You may be seated.